many professionals were never taught how to fully assess tongue tie, and families are often left trying to reach their breastfeeding goals without the support they actually need. If feeding feels harder than it should, I don't want you to be alone. I wrote Tongue Tie for Parents to help you understand what's happening and how to move forward with a clear, thoughtful approach. It's the same guidance I would give you if you were sitting with me in my office. It takes a holistic, functional view, guiding you through what to look for, how to think about next steps, and what actually helps. Available now on Amazon. Link is in the show notes. Welcome to the season marking 4 years of the Tongue Tie Experts podcast. I'm incredibly grateful for what this space has become. What started as a simple idea to create thoughtful, evidence-based, and multidisciplinary conversations about tongue tie, infant feeding, and airway-centered care has grown into a global community of professionals who are committed to doing better for babies and families. Over the years, I've had the honor of sitting down with parents, lactation consultants, dentists, birth and medical professionals, therapists, researchers, and educators from around the world. Together, we've explored the science, the controversy, the clinical nuance, and the very real human stories that live at the heart of this work. My hope has always been that this podcast supports you in thinking critically, collaborating confidently, caring more deeply, and helping more people. If you're new here, welcome. I'm so grateful that you found us. To those of you who have been listening, sharing episodes, and sending messages over the years, thank you. Your support is the reason this podcast continues to grow. To our guests and sponsors, special thanks to you for your incredible contribution to this mission. Let's see how long we can keep this going. Please click, follow, leave a rating or review, and share with a colleague. It truly helps this podcast reach more who need to hear these insights. Now, let's get into today's episode. Welcome back to the Tongue Tie Experts podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Palladino, and today we have a really special episode for all of you. Whether you're a lactation professional, speech-language pathologist, OT, PT, CST, dentist, physician, midwife, or any other clinician that I may not have mentioned, if you work with infants and families affected by tongue tie, this episode is one you won't want to miss. I'm thrilled to welcome Jessica Altamira, IBCLC, who is the head of the conference committee for ICAP, which is the International Consortium of Ankyloglossia Professionals. Jessica has been instrumental in shaping one of the most collaborative and forward-thinking global gatherings in our field. Today, we'll talk about this year's ICAP conference, what it is, the tradition of the event, what makes it special, the incredible lineup of speakers and workshops, and why you have to be at this conference. Get ready for an inspiring conversation. Welcome, Jessica, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, Lisa. It's really good to talk to you, and thank you for having me on to talk about something I'm so passionate about.
Yeah, and you've been doing this for a while now. Tell me a little bit about your history with ICAP.
So,
well, not too much about the deep history.
Yeah,
but, you know.
Yeah. I think you and I have both been part of this community long enough that we could go way back. But ICAP was founded in 2018, and I was already connected with a lot of the people who were part of founding ICAP. And as we were pulling together the organization, it was really based on an incredibly strong desire to have an organization that was fully international and fully inclusive, that really embodied interdisciplinary care, and but also was incredibly transparent in how everything was happening. An organization that communicated well with the members and really worked to include members in everything possible, but that would welcome new perspectives, which I think is some of the things that I'm the most excited about with this conference that has really inspired me with previous conferences is the ability to have a lot of different perspectives come in from other healthcare systems outside the U.S., outside of North America. And it comes with challenges, but I think the first conference in 2018, so I think it was founded in 2017, the first conference was in 2018. And I remember going to that conference, I'm not going to say begrudgingly, but just like worried about what was going to happen as far as the people who were going to be there. What was the vibe going to be? And what was the, was there going to be like a hierarchy of people from different fields? And being thrilled that everybody just came there to be friends and not to worry about all of those different things so much. And I was sold.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I think that the goal and the mission of inclusivity of, like you said, not just other professionals, but professionals from all parts of the world. And honestly, that from when I first came to my first tongue tie ever event, it wasn't ICAP, it was a different conference. But that's what struck me, hearing stories of providers like me in different places in the country and the world who were experiencing the same types of challenges with their patients and were figuring out things to do in similar ways that I have figured out. And we hadn't learned together yet. It was like a little bit of a big magic moment, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I think we had the same experience at the same conference where just being able to be in the same place and the speakers were fantastic. And I got most inspired by the conversations that I had between speakers and in the hotel bar in the evening and everything. And I think those connections keep me going when things get frustrating or I feel judged or anything like that. And so ICAP is a Canadian-based nonprofit. And it was certainly very strongly, the membership was very strongly favored North America, the United States and Canada. And, you know, in the last 3-4 years that I've been on the conference committee and on the board and that kind of thing, I've watched how it's opened up to membership from like that. We had a regional conference last year. I'm still adjusting to 2025 being last year, but we had a regional conference in Ireland in June of 2025. That was our first regional conference because our international conferences are biannual and or biennial. Something like whatever that word is. And
every other year.
Yes. Right. So on even years, we have an international conference. And I just watching how things have evolved with these events and getting to go and have people from Europe. And so I think the ability to have regional conferences on odd years has let us pull people in and help people see that ICAP genuinely wants to be international. There are a lot of organizations that are based in North America, based in the United States, that have international in their name and might have members from other countries, but it's not like a priority for them. And watching how things have evolved to where we really are doing everything we can to embody being international and to welcome people from other countries is
right. And I see the same necessity to be international just by the people who sign up for my professionals course. I have professional graduates from 10 countries, which, you know, I'm not market. I mean, you know, the internet is everywhere, right? But I'm not marketing anywhere outside the United States. I'm not intentionally doing that, but the need is there. You know, 10 countries, that to me is incredible. So let's circle back. So ICAP with its long, laborious name.
I agree.
let's talk about the monkey in the room. We have this name, and I say we because I've never been a board member. I was involved way back when it was trying to be formed, was like in its fetal stage, we'll say. And then I had to step away. And then I've been at every conference, trying to be at everything, try to be involved because I believe so strongly in the mission and the work that's coming out of it, especially lately. You know, there's been an evolution in research and in evidence and in the level of speakers, the level of involvement. So we'll get into all that. But what I want to say is, so ICAP, International Consortium of Ankyloglossia Professionals. I just like when my family says, what the heck is that? I'm like, it's just the tongue tie club. It's the tongue tie
club. It's ankylofrenula, so that we're covering all the frenum. I'm pleased to say that we've finally come to agree on one term for more than one frenulum, that frenum is officially plural for frenulum, which was something that I wrestled with for a long time. And so it's the International Consortium of Oral Ankylofrenula. So I say the same thing when people, I'll say ICAP. And maybe I'll like say the name, but mostly what I'll say is that it's so an international, international multidisciplinary nonprofit surrounding tethered oral tissues and tongue ties and lip ties.
Yeah, that's a great way to describe it. And for our listeners who don't know about ICAP to understand it, and full disclosure, I asked you to come on to promote this conference because of how deeply I feel that it's such an enriching experience. And I've never come to an ICAP conference and come away thinking it was a waste of time. I have made friends. I have made professional connections. We've had a lot of laughs. We've had some tears. when I step into the room at an ICAP conference, I feel like I'm with my people, like I'm in with my family, you know, and I felt that before I knew people. Like it just is so, the mood is different than any other conference. And not to, you know, I've been at a lot of conferences I'm speaking at. We were just talking about all the conferences I'm involved in this year. I love them all, but there's something close to my heart about ICAP. And I think it's because of the grassroots and because of the heart and soul that was put into founding it and making sure that the principles are strong, the I don't know if you call it your mission statement or your founding documents and the people that are, you know, the way the board is chosen, how it's divided up to be representative of not only international, but of different disciplines, how fair it all seems, and how well it always seems that the board jives with each other, you know, like from the outside. You don't have to tell me the dirty insides, but from the outside, it seems like you guys are having a good time while getting stuff done, you know, and I think that reflects in the type of events that you display for the public. Have you ever found yourself thinking, do I actually know enough about tongue tie to assess this baby, to talk to this family, to know what should happen next? If you've ever had these thoughts, our newest program, the Confident IBCLC, was created with you in mind. And it's open to anyone who works with babies and families. You don't have to be an IBCLC. This is a 1 hour live, low cost, high impact training for anyone working with babies and families who wants more clarity, stronger clinical reasoning, and more confidence around tongue tie and feeding concerns. This masterclass is here to quiet that imposter syndrome that's been whispering in your ear and to remind you that you are capable, qualified, and needed. You can sign up right now at tongueTieExperts.net. The direct link will be in the show notes.
I think what's unique, you know, I'm sure this isn't like the only conference in the world where this happens, but nobody comes to ICAP to just get continuing ed. Like, nobody's doing it because it's their job. You can do that online now. If all you want is to be able to rack up CEs so you can get relicensed or certified or whatever, nobody's going to travel to do that. But and I think that people come because they're passionate about what they're there for. They come because they want to find community of people who are passionate about the same thing. And the 2024 conference in Cleveland, Ohio, it was by far the biggest conference we've ever had. And I was worried. I was, you know, because when you're first getting started and we're organizing these things and I've, you know, sort of like known, been a part of this community for so long, it would be a lot of names I knew. I had a sense of what the vibe was going to be. I had a sense of who the people who were coming, what they were like, that we shared ideals. So when it got significantly larger than it's ever been, and I was like, wow, look at all these new people. On one hand, I am so excited to see that. On the other hand, it's like, Right. Can we maintain this vibe? Can we continue
Right. To
keep the focus on collaboration and camaraderie and that and an equity between fields, which can be challenging?
Right.
You know, in a lot of cultures, certainly within North America and most Western cultures, I would venture to say the majority of cultures, there is a hierarchy between providers, right? You have doctors, right. You have dentists, and to maintain this equity between people. So we've tried to do certain things to set the tone, but I also think it's just like leading with example of what the vibe is going to be like. And we had several people who came to the last one who had never been to any professional conference. They had only, they'd gotten continuing ed, they had done it online, they'd never been to an in-person conference before. And I was so thrilled and honestly a little bit relieved that we maintained the vibe, that it was the same camaraderie and collaboration. And
it was even more. Yeah. It was even more. It was like, I don't know. I know that after that conference, I felt like, especially in the Q&A sessions, you could feel the excitement. Like, people were excited to exchange information and go back home and use what they've learned. Like, you could feel that, you know? And also, some of the conversations we had were not just like your typical Q&A and, you know, like loving on each other. There was a little bit of challenges and talking about differences in different places and how it's handled different. And it was stimulating conversation and educating conversation, not just your usual fluff that, you know, I've been involved in a lot of post-conference panels where it's just like, you know, everybody patting each other on the back. Yeah. That's not what this was. That's not what it is at all. You continue to learn. So, yeah. So that is one of the incredible things. And the speakers that you have coming, let's talk a little. Well, first of all, when is the conference? Let's talk about the particulars. It's April,
so, right? So it's towards the end of April. It's April 23rd through 26th. It's going to be in Portland, Oregon, and there's a virtual option. Mm-hmm. So we're doing our first full blown hybrid. We had certain guidelines we had to follow as far as where it was going to be based on, a variety of factors. And so we knew it needed to be on the West Coast of North America. So we did polling between an option in Canada, Portland, an option in Mexico. And Portland won out for sure, even among like international people and all of that. And so we committed to Portland. And since that happened, it has gotten more difficult to travel to Portland from outside the United States. We've had some people who have struggled to get ESTAs, which is like what in certain parts of Europe you have to get to come to the U.S. It's gotten a little more complicated. There are some additional fees. And so it is really important to us that we are able to include as many people as possible. We really want people to feel involved and to be involved from outside the U.S. And so we have opted to do an international, to do the hybrid of virtual and in person. There are some things that are that can only happen in person that I'm really excited to talk about because there's some new things that we've started doing. And also to the, with the community aspect, because I do think that if you, when you, a lot of times when you attend a conference virtually, it's very much about the sessions. But ICAP conferences are only like 50% about the sessions, right? It's so much about feeling that sense of community. And so also finding really creative solutions for trying to replicate that as much as possible, even for the people who attend virtually, for letting people be included in live Q&A during the conference. Time zones are a little bit tricky for that, but for having online community events during the conference and for doing all that kind of thing to try to not just provide the sessions virtually, but to create the community virtually as much as possible as well. And and so
that's really that's great that you're trying to, you know, that you're doing that, because that can't be easy. I'm just thinking of the logistics of it. It sounds like, you know, this is an example of how the organization goes out of their way to keep the vibe, to keep people feeling included and building the community, which is most important.
Yeah.
So I love ICAP. I'm going to have a table for Tongue Tie Experts podcast at ICAP, which I love doing, because the room where the tables are, or the lobby, or wherever it's going to be this year, is always where everything happens to me. You know, like, yes, that the speakers are fantastic, but that's where we get to chat. That's where we get to know each other. Right. And I'm not speaking this time because I just get, I'm like, I want to put all my, my energy into the networking part of it. And, you know, I'm like, this is, I'm going to do this time. I'm not going to speak. I'm not going to be nervous about my presentation. I'm going to be at my table and meet people. And I am so excited for that. So if you're listening and you're going to be at ICAP, please stop by my table. And I always have like prizes and, you know, raffles and stuff like that too. But, and, you know, that's where I've found a lot of my guests, you know, from people mingling, and even some podcast sponsors. We found some really cool sponsors that have helped us keep this podcast going at these events. So let's talk about some of the keynote speakers. So at this conference, we have keynote speakers, and then we have like breakout sessions where you have to pick, which is always the hardest thing, to pick which room you want to go into.
Fortunately, the recordings, all the virtual recordings will also be available to people who attend the conference in person. So if you miss something, you can go back and watch that, that session. And one of ICAP's traditions to very intentionally be as interdisciplinary as possible is that we, for our keynote speakers, we have these like primary fields that we try to have represented by one keynote speaker. And so this year, our keynote speakers will include a doctor, an IBCLC, a manual therapist, an SLP, a dentist. And so we, you know, we're not going to be able to have a keynote speaker of every field of the people who are coming, but we always have intentional slots so that we don't have one keynote speaker who is one field, so that we have a keynote speaker from a variety of fields. And that is always challenging, but it's really fun to be like, okay, who's going to fill the doctor slot this year? And who's going to be the IBCLC? The fun part is that there are so many amazing people near Portland that we could have as keynote speakers. And
that's exciting.
It's nice when it the keynote speakers, when it's convenient for them, I think that also helps us to get options and have them be in a good headspace.
And the speaker lineup is out, right?
It is. It's on the website. The full program is on the website. And that includes the workshops and the play. And I can go more into what all of that looks like and all of the add-ons.
Yeah, so just the website is icapprofessionals.org.
icapprofessionals.org. I-C-A-P professionals. So I-C-A-P-P-R. And
Right.
If you just,
and I'll put that in the show notes, but just for people who are just listening. Yeah.
And if you just go there, you can kind of find the conference, but a thing will pop up. It'll make it really easy to find the conference and to find the information about the conference mm-hmm. on the website.
So you mentioned quickly, which I know is like something that's near and dear to your heart, the workshops. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So Tina Greva is an IBCLC and midwife in Oslo, Norway. And she's been a part of conference planning. She is officially the chair for this year's conference. And
Oh, okay.
And
I love Tina.
Yeah.
She's like my sister because, you know, she's an IBCLC and a midwife and so am I.
And her clinic has done lots of cool things, like include psychotherapy in their integrative model and stuff. So she came up with two ideas. She suggested two ideas that we have started implementing. The workshops, live in-person workshops that are more interactive and hands-on. And so there's a limited number of people who can attend the workshops. Those happen on Thursday. And then the main conference mm-hmm. will be Friday through Sunday. And so we're going to have eight workshops, up to 20 people per workshop. So they're pretty limited because they're very interactive and hands-on. And they're coming from a variety mm-hmm. of viewpoints. So again, we try to think about different fields and different perspectives. I'm going to be doing one on bottle feeding, on bottle-fed infants, and assessing and treating. I think we talk a lot about breastfeeding, but we don't talk a lot about bottle feeding. And then I'll have an SLP. So it'll be myself and an SLP who are talking
That's great. So necessary.
Yeah. So because necessary. It's sort of, I think a lot of times we just sort of write off the bottle fed babies, or maybe we just do the release, but we don't have a lot of tools. So I'll be doing that. So there's a variety of workshops, and I love that we have that hands on. I remember we did workshops for the first time in 2024. And one of my favorite moments in one of the workshops was basically where, like, somebody was frustrated because they really disagreed with what was being taught, and we were able to have a conversation about it and bring in other perspectives because these are interactive workshops. And plenty of people who are there just as attendees are experts. So what we want to do with the conference and the workshops is there's another layer to it, which is we have a lot of people who come who are relatively new to all of this, and they're just getting started, and they really want a good foundation and more of the foundational things. And then we have people who come to these conferences who have been doing this for 20 years and who have sort of seen the foundational stuff, who are part of teaching the foundational stuff, and they want niche or new ideas, things that can be inspiring and things that can help them evolve. And so having a combination of those two perspectives of like niche things for people who are really experienced and foundational things for people who are less experienced, and also encouraging everybody to be, you know, like to be collaborative, that the people who are coming in with less experience still have important perspectives to share and can help evolve things with a more fresh perspective on everything. So with the workshops, we try to do a combination of those. With the sessions, we try to do a combination of those. And I will say, now that workshop registration is out and all of that, those filled up, and we had a lot of people who were frustrated that they weren't able to get into the workshops that they wanted to get into.
Wow.
And so that wasn't true for every workshop. Some of them are more niche, but we definitely had about half of our workshops that people were frustrated and like begging, can you just get one more person in? So they workshops, because they're interactive, have to be in person. So you have to come in person to attend those. Yeah. Also, if you're coming in person, I would highly recommend signing up for those workshops as quickly as possible, because they do fill up.
Yeah, that's a good point. I have to take a look at those. So as you're talking about different levels and different niches, I'm thinking that you can be someone who's been doing this for 30 years and still be excited by one of those niche workshops.
Yes.
Right? Like I've been, you know, I know some things about bottle feeding. I'm an IBCLC. Of course, I've been feeding babies forever. And I know the points, but I would love to go deeper on that and seeing if what I am saying to parents is the same as what other people are saying. And, you know, so even though I have all these years of experience, those workshop sounds exciting to me because of the interactive nature of it, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that's how we truly learn, you know, and that makes it so different than any other conference. So the part of ICAP that I think gives or will give or is in the process of giving the most credibility and the part that I talk about the most is definitely Sirius, the research arm
yes.
of the conference. So let's talk a little bit about that because, you know, a few years ago, all we heard is, well, there's no research. Right. There's no research behind what you're doing. And there is research and there's growing research and there's incredible statements coming out mm-hmm. of this organization that help guide our practices and our foundations. So let's talk a little bit about Sirius.
Yeah. So Sirius, C-I-R-E-A-S, the Committee for Interpersonal Research and
something science.
I always struggle with that one, but so we just call it Sirius and there are an infinite yeah. number of puns you can make with it being called Sirius. So, yeah. it's a scientific affairs committee for ICAP and it was founded 3 or 4 years ago. And there's been a lot of evolution. So one of the things that you were referencing is that we published the practice guidelines. And the practice guidelines
yes.
are based on research. It was drafted by people from all of the fields that we're talking about and screened by people from even more fields. There were people from 8 countries, I think, that were involved in writing it, and a number of people who were like PhDs, college professors, also providers and practitioners. So the practice guidelines, we get practice guidelines from a pediatric association or a speech association, or, you know, we have all these different things, but they're so specific to that field and are going to include the potential right. blind spots that different fields have. Whereas this is a really diverse, incredibly thorough set of practice guidelines. They've been published, and that's available on the website. Those are going to be referenced a lot at the conference. And they're a great starting point. At the same time,
yes.
writing those really did highlight that there are a number of places we need more research, and also that the research is so dispersed. Like I'm really familiar mm. with the research done in the United States. Like a lot of people are, but not many people who aren't really into this already are familiar with the research that's been done in Brazil on the histological characteristics of the lingual frenulum.
Right.
And right. you know, that's being able to pull all of that together is an important starting point for Sirius. And mm-hmm. one of the things that I'm extremely excited about is that they were able to acquire an IRB and start actually performing research.
Right.
What you were saying as far as like when a lot of us first came together, we were saying to each other, I see this pattern. I noticed this thing helps. And we were like, yes. Oh, me too. And I thought, I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure if mm-hmm. it's just me making things up, but separately, we're all seeing the same patterns. And then also one of the areas that we really need solid research on is active wound management and which approaches right. to that. Like how many, is it important? Right. We finally have some research showing that that it does make a difference in resolution of symptoms. You know, we can talk about.
So we're like proving what we've been doing in
yes,
practice
yes.
is important.
Right, right.
Right. So instead of just keeping going with doing the things we do, proving and evolving your practice to match what these studies are showing.
And just having that, there's so many different opinions, right? And
yes.
and
yes.
So what they're doing now is taking multiple practices who practice very similarly, but have a different protocol for active wound management and have pretty high volume so that we have a good data set.
Mm-hmm.
And then they all start using the same paperwork. They all start using the same validated tools for assessing things. You have to have a validated tool for assessing symptom resolution, which is really what matters, but also wound healing itself and that kind of thing. So make everything, we try to have controls.
Make it uniform. Yeah.
Change up the active wound management protocol. Come back and compare data. It could be published. And the one thing that stands out to me with everything with ICAP is that it's a nonprofit. And so as we're publishing research, when that research includes multiple fields from a nonprofit international organization, it gives us an ability to go further towards eliminating bias.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because so much of medical research has biases of the funding that they're receiving. So,
yeah. And these people are all volunteering because the funding, I mean, it's, we're growing. And by far, we have the biggest membership we've ever had. We had the biggest conference we've had yet. And I would say ICAP is going from a new, like has recently gone from being like this new organization that we're building to being an established organization. And at the same time, from a funding perspective, we try to keep membership rates as low as possible. We try to make the conference as affordable as possible. We really focus on how can we make the conference as affordable as we can, especially because we want people to maybe be able to funnel their funds into the flight here from outside of North America. So to that end, kind of balancing, ICAP's not going to make anybody rich anytime soon. Right. And I think that's good because that means the people who are involved for the right reasons.
Right. It's independent research. It's not, you know, it's not biased by any monetary gains, which is important. And the fact that there's not that hierarchy even in the research.
Yeah.
Right. It's like there's input from multiple disciplines because if you believe in interdisciplinary assessment, interdisciplinary care, we have to have interdisciplinary research and evaluation of the results of the care that we're testing.
Yes.
So I think it's like a win-win situation. And it's like if you would have told me about this 10 years ago, I would have been like, no way, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
That would be too, that was like our pipe dream, right?
Yes.
Like, it's like the pipe dream coming true. So, you know, Jessica and I are really geeking out here because we've been in this for so long. If you're new to this, you're lucky that you're here now because this is a very exciting time to be involved in this field of ankyloglossia or tongue tie or TOTS or whatever term it is. Even with the controversies, the bumps along the road, and all that stuff, this field is expanding, growing, I don't know, just exploding with good information. Finally, you know, we're finally getting to this point. We've been through some bumps. So I think that, like, to wrap it up, I mean, you and I can talk forever, and I can't wait to hang out in Portland. But to wrap it up, you know, I think it's important, and I think you've said this, who should attend? Anyone, right, who is anywhere interested in learning about this field, no matter what your role is, right? We have all different types of providers welcome at ICAP.
I love it when a new field shows up. And I would say, you know, we're looking at redoing, so the board of directors, we've added new fields to the board of directors because we're seeing that there are new fields that are increasingly involved. We've seen that, you know, we need to recognize midwives as potential release providers, and we have more and more occupational therapists and physical therapists who are involved and who are directly working in all of this. And so we've added new fields to be required, and those will be those fields will be added to the board, or people representing those fields will be added to the board this year. We have the researcher, so it's a PhD, somebody, they need to be a PhD, and that's been added. And and I love it when somebody new shows up. We've had a lot, an insurgence of osteopaths, which is exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I can't think of any field where it's like, you shouldn't come. I will tell you who I would love to see more of at ICAP conferences, students. We have made the student registration
medical students, pediatricians. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And we want more doctors involved with ICAP.
We
always have at least one on the board. We have two medical doctors who are keynote speakers, this year. And but students, because for a variety of reasons, but we try to make the conference registration fee really low for students. It's exciting mm-hmm. to have students and people. And I think also sometimes those are good people to get involved with research and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But, we've had people come last conference. We had somebody come who was a passionate parent who had been through this as a parent and, mm-hmm. And they were local and on a whim, mm-hmm. they were like, hey, we want to come. And so that it's interesting to see that we have maybe patients who are just coming to learn.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I met that person. Actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the other thing I want to mention that I should have mentioned when we're talking about Sirius and the research, we do have an episode that I did with Dr. Ray Singh and Dr. Sharon Smart all about Sirius and the mm-hmm. research. And there is another whole episode with, I'm not going to remember her name, Rebecca Hill.
And she will be the chair of the Scientific Affairs Committee this year.
Yeah. So if you're interested in hearing more about that research before we get to ICAP, before we get to Portland, you could look back on those episodes. They were very informative and interesting episodes for me to record.
And Sirius does a showcase at the conference. So we'll have one session that is very, I think that, so when, for anybody who doesn't know, when somebody gets their PhD, they have to argue their thesis and mm-hmm. and it's really intense. Like you get up there and you get grilled, you get interrogated. It's intense. So we have these PhDs who are running the Scientific Affairs Committee and they're like, let's do that at the conference. That sounds fun. And I was like, okay, mm-hmm. but people need to know what they're agreeing to do. And we've had and so far so good. Like people are totally agree to go through the gambit. And so that's we'll do the series showcase again this year. And
if research could be made fun, it's made fun.
To make it almost like Jeopardy or something really quiz and ask them to like, because I mean, how many of us have been in a conference session where somebody is talking about their research or whatever, and we're going, but I have questions. Oh, like I want to break that down. I want to challenge the assumption that you're making or the conclusions that you came to. Mm-hmm. And how great is it that there are people who go, I'm welcoming that. Let's do that. Right. Like challenge my conclusions.
Bring it on.
Where you're invited mm-hmm. to disagree.
And that opens up the ideas for future research.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Right?
Like because I saw that happen in the last Sirius showcase where somebody was like, you know what? You're right. We didn't do this. We could. Maybe next time we will. You know, so that's
the
so
humility. It's just one more way that the humility that we see with ICAP presents itself, where even the people who are doing the highest level of research are like, no, let's challenge it and let me be open mm-hmm. to input on how I should refine.
So I think I'm gonna say who shouldn't come to ICAP.
Okay, I will tell you.
Somebody with a big ego who thinks they know it all and doesn't want to hang out.
That was 100% my answer. If you feel that you are the ultimate authority on everything tongue tie, don't come.
Don't come. Or come and we'll show you that you're
also,
not.
I mean, also, right? Like, open, like, consider there might be something you don't know.
Because there always is. Right. That's the incredible part. Like, I learn something at every session. At these conferences.
I'm so neurospicy. And very few things are going to hold my attention for more than a few years at a time. And the fact that after, over 20 years of being involved. I am still completely sucked into all of this. And it's because there's always more. There's so much to do. There's so many ways to contribute to start changing the world and changing lives and changing the way other people practice and evolving the way that I practice, that there's just so many opportunities for growth and contribution in this field. And I'm just shocked that anything has held my attention with this much passion for so long. but it's there. And I also don't think I could have sustained this if I didn't have the sense of community that ICAP and that everybody has given me, that it is genuinely like a family reunion. We had people who came for the first time in 2024, and in their reports were like, it's crazy. I feel like I came to a family reunion and I've never been to an ICAP conference. And and I so I think that, you know, even if somebody has a great big ego, right? Let's say, I mean, who's going to admit that they fit that description? But let's say they do and they show up. I honestly am humbled at most conferences too. And if you're somebody who's been doing this for a long time and you tend to have pretty strong opinions, which is definitely me, right? I have opinions. And if you're that person, sometimes you really do need to go somewhere also where you can go, oh, like this is, this. There's new and there's places for me to go and ways for me to engage with people, especially because people come from outside of the United States and Canada. And like, sometimes I need to be humbled. I think I'm going to contribute. Like, oh, I'm just going because I have things I want to share. I want to teach people. And then I get there and I'm like, oh, I'm being schooled.
Well, we're all being schooled together. We're all learning together. It's a wonderful experience. Jessica, I know you're really busy with your own private practice, with your work with ICAP. Thank you so much for giving the time to us today, because you're helping in what, you know, helps keep me going. And that is the community that we've built around this podcast, and being able to talk to people like you is what keeps me going. 4 years. Can you believe it? I've been doing this 4 years already.
Well, congratulations on that. Love it. I feel like there's such an overlap with what you do and with what ICAP does, and embodying all of the things that we've been discussing and doing that. And watching how everything has evolved for you has been such a joy, because you're so core to the community. And
thank you.
It's good to see you.
Well, this has been a wonderful love fest. I can't wait to give you an in-person hug. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And if you have any questions, reach out to ICAP or reach out to me, and the links to sign up will be in the show notes. And I hope to see you in Portland. And if you come to Portland, definitely come to my table and introduce yourself and tell me that you heard this podcast episode. Talk to you soon. Bye, Jess.
This podcast is meant for education and conversation only. It is not medical advice and does not replace formal education, professional training, or individualized care from a qualified healthcare provider. Always seek appropriate guidance for individual concerns. The views and opinions shared by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the host or Tongue Tie Experts. Many professionals were never taught how to fully assess tongue tie, and families are often left trying to reach their breastfeeding goals without the support they actually need. If feeding feels harder than it should, I don't want you to be alone. I wrote Tongue Tie for Parents to help you understand what's happening and how to move forward with a clear, thoughtful approach. It's the same guidance I would give you if you were sitting with me in my office. It takes a holistic, functional view, guiding you through what to look for, how to think about next steps, and what actually helps. Available now on Amazon. Link is in the show notes.